sweat the technique.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
I'm Brandon. We are the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 8807. Every L.A. team thrived during COVID. I forgot about UCLA in that mix. The Lakers, the bubble, the Dodgers, the bubble, and UCLA in the Final Four.
I had to ask Brian because I was like you. I read it. I was like, oh, my God, that's right. And then I said, Brian, what did the Rams do? And he said they won it the year after.
Oh.
Man, they did flourish.
They were on Hard Knocks during the COVID year because I remember them having to go through, like, the testing and stuff on that show. Like, they would have – it was weird.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. How differently would we view the Astros season if the Yankee series never happened?
I don't view it any differently. I think a lot of people would have a completely different opinion of this team. You and I have talked about it enough, in depth about the fact that if you got your doors blown off and you couldn't hit the baseball and you couldn't, pitch and get guys out and you were embarrassed by the Yankees, it'd be one thing. But the fact that they were in every game, they were leading or tied late in every game, and then they just couldn't find a way to close the door and win every game, I still saw enough of that baseball team and believe with what that roster looks like and with the guys that are going to come back to help them, they were going to be fine. But I think to answer the question from the majority of Houstonians that are Astros fans, I think it'd be a completely different perspective. I think that Astros Twitter wouldn't be losing their mind and some of the tweets and comments you read earlier wouldn't be happening because they'd be like, you know what? This team's going to be fine. It's early. Don't worry. They're still doing – they're hitting. They're doing these things.
Yeah, to me, it doesn't change my mind on them a whole lot either. I wasn't – after four games, I really wasn't panicking at all. Like, I thought that the Astros are – I thought they were a good team at the start of the year. I thought they were a good team through the year or through that series. You know, the Fromber news could change some stuff. Like, if Fromber's – we find out that Fromber's out for the entire year, that's a blow. I mean, that's one of your best – probably your best starter. If you were to lose him for the rest of the season, okay, not great for the Stros. But my perspective on them is the same that it was at the start of the year. I think they're a good team. I think that they have a pitching staff when healthy. That's one of the best pitching staff – the starting rotations, maybe not staffs, one of the best starting rotations in all of baseball. Their back end, I think, is still really good, even though they've had their struggles. Hader hasn't been untouchable. Abreu's got hit a little bit. Presley's got hit a little bit. But they're going to be fine. And then the offense is good. And we've seen the offense be good. So from my point of view – If the Yankee series never happened, it really didn't change my viewpoint at all on this team.
Yeah, Brian, you got chime in?
I think to kind of weigh in or expand on Jeremy's saying, I get the idea that what we thought of this team was not changed because it's so early in the season, so why would you change the opinion off of such a small sample or a size of games with only 11 being played so far? But I think when you dig into it, like overall, if you remove that Yankees series from their win-loss record, you're looking at a 4-3 record, so you're going into this series upcoming with a winning record, and you're looking at, okay, we got a home series win over a playoff team in the Blue Jays, and we split on the road with the World Series champions. I think maybe, between us, maybe it doesn't change the opinion a whole lot, but if you're looking at there's two series, we won one against the playoff team, we split on the road against the World Series champions, I think the panicky part of people online amongst the Astros Twitter fan base will feel a whole lot better about the team than they do right now coming off that Yankee sweep.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I think you're all right from the perspective of like those fans who kind of lose their mind and live or die on each of these games, but baseball is 162. There is some Fromber news. You guys tell me how this reads. Fromber Valdez is on the injured list with left elbow inflammation. Joe Espada said he'll be shut down for a few days while it subsides.
A few days?
Yes.
That seems short in the way that it comes across in terms of, I would think, a few weeks, or at least because of the fact that the overall totality of the process is probably going to take that. I guess that's encouraging. I would say,
I read it as encouraging.
Yeah.
Like, if we just take it from the surface, Fromber's on the injured list. He should be. If Fromber Valdez woke up and he sneezed wrong, he should be on the injured list this early in the year. So the fact that he's on the – that's why the Espada quote yesterday was ridiculous. Like, you're safe with your best player, especially whenever it's your elbow. You have a little bit of tightness there. It doesn't feel right. You slam on the brakes and evaluate what you're going to do. It was the same thing with Justin Verlander. Verlander threw a little bit, felt a little bit of soreness, right? He didn't throw for a week or two. Urquidy's going through that right now. Like, they didn't see anything structurally wrong with his forearm, but he's not going to throw for a little while. Like, it's what you should do. And the moment that a pitcher is starting to complain about their elbow, you should put him on the IL immediately, even if it turns out to be the smallest of things. So I don't care that he's on the injured list. That, to me, is not a clue about, you know, the status of Fromber Valdez at all. Now, him being shut down for a few days while it subsides, like, that tells me they got the imaging back. Like, without – I mean, they didn't say it, right?
Right.
He didn't say we saw the imaging and there's not anything structurally wrong, but he had to have had an MRI yesterday. He got rushed back to Houston to see the team doctors, so he got an MRI. The imaging and the MRI had to have come back by now, and if now your manager's saying that he's going to be shut down for a few days while his inflammation subsides – that, to me, sounds like nothing structurally wrong.
Sounds better than Garrett Cole's prognosis when he came out with his. Sounds like you dodged a massive bullet, and at least for the time being, that it's not going to be as potentially catastrophic for him for the year as we were contemplating 24 hours ago.
Now, like, you know, the elbow stuff starts to flare up, and then all of a sudden you continue to put more stress on it. Like, it could, you know, eventually lead to things.
Mm-hmm.
And this isn't saying that they saw the MRI and nothing came back structurally wrong. So, like, I'm not jumping to that conclusion, but it certainly reads that way.
Yeah, it really does. Look, that's why I said when you read it, and if that's that, and reading it verbatim, I'd say I'd take that as a fantastic sign, because a few days sounds like it's not going to be long at all before he's back throwing, and that he's probably not going to miss maybe even close to the significant time we thought with 6 weeks. That would be fantastic, but It still happened, which means that there's normally, like you said, that there's a counter to it. There's another thing that could happen, and they got to be hyper careful with it.
Yeah, I wish that it said that, hey, we saw the MRI and there's nothing structurally wrong. Like, that would make me feel even, like, way better, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, we're trying to read the tea leaves on this. Like, the IL thing means nothing to me. I would have put him on the IL if he, you know, like I said, he rolled out of bed the wrong way or he had a stiff neck. Like, I'm not messing with my best starting pitcher this early in the year. He reports anything wrong, I'm shutting him down for 2 weeks. They also made it retroactive to the 6th, so, like, he could come off the IL sooner. Not that I want that to happen, but I take this as positive news. Like, if we're reading between the lines, which is all we have right now, so of course we're going to speculate. We're not journalists. We don't have to, like, you know, have caution. We're not journalists. So I think that this is good news. Maybe I have my Astro goggles
on. I think what you threw out too, Jeremy, is another big point, and that is if you made it retroactive to the 6th, to me it seems like, you know, you would want the full 15 days. You would want to take your time. You would want, if there was anything that you had any even the slightest concern or that he really needs to
I think you're reading too much into that, though, because you don't have to call him back up when the 15 days comes up. But you're just doing that because of the semantics of doing it that way. Like, you're always going to be you're always going to do it the earliest than the latest, just because
just
that's how it's done. Yeah, just in case. Like, I don't think that matters either, really.
Yeah, just the way whenever I hear that, I feel like that there's a sooner rather than a later, which means I would be even more encouraged by that and the wording of the Espada.
Yeah. But the fact, I mean, what did I tell you at the start of the show? I told you at the start of the show that if they say nothing today, it's not good. Like, if there's, because we know how this works. You've been around teams. I've been around teams.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you go back to a city and you see the doctors, and this is a professional baseball team, all the doctors are immediately going to go see the guy, especially whenever he's one of your best guys. They're going to have him. Like, if he's complaining about an elbow, what are they going to do? They're going to look at an MRI the moment he walks through those offices, and they're going to move all of their other patients down to make Fromber Valdez the priority. That's the way it works. So they did an MRI yesterday. They didn't tell you they did, but we're telling you that it did because we know how it works. And, like, how long does an MRI, like, take to turn around? Like, I would imagine less than 24 hours.
A couple hours.
There you go. So they probably knew if something was structurally wrong before they left Arlington yesterday, before the flight to Kansas City. So the fact that a spot is coming out today saying that he has left elbow inflammation, it'll be shut down for a couple days, to me is positive. Because if they saw that he had a torn UCL, they're going to be like, well, he's looking at other, he's still talking to doctors. Or they might just flat out say he had a torn UCL.
They'll either tell you or they'll say there's other doctors that he needs to meet with before we can make a final decision.
Or we don't know yet. Or they might even like play coy and dumb. Like we're still waiting on news. Like they did that with McCullers, right?
Yep.
Like we're still waiting to hear back, blah, 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 blah. Oh, and then, oh, by the way, he had surgery last week. So they could like give you a nothing burger. But the fact that he's like, yeah, left elbow inflammation, like he's telling you something. He's telling you something.
Did they do that with Verlander?
David Brown thought it was minor yesterday.
Did they do that with Verlander, or were they the ones in total denial saying, look, we're just going through a rehab program right now?
Are you talking about this time or whenever he tore
the Chandler Rome thing?
See, that one was like a different regime, right? So, like, can we put any stock into that? Because it was a different manager. It was a different general manager.
Same PR staff.
Yeah, but I don't think it's so much the PR. I think it's more the GM.
Same owner, though, right?
Yeah, but I don't think the owner's really, like, messing with that. I think that's small peanuts for Jim Crane.
Except that it's his boy. But, yeah. I just feel like...
But I feel like Verlander was more radio silence.
I think it was also like, kind of despite Chandler.
I also think he was, like, elbow discomfort.
Yeah.
Like, which, well, I mean, I guess you could make the case elbow inflammation sounds like elbow discomfort. But the timeline to me is significant here, too. He's going to be shut down for a couple days.
That's big.
Maybe I'm reading too much into this. I'm just telling you how I view it. Maybe I'm entirely wrong and it's a complete 180. I'm just telling you how I see it.
The way it sounds, it sounds encouraging. Yeah, it sounds encouraging.
Yeah, hopefully we're right and we're not idiots because we'll never hear the end of it. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Will of Bits. We haven't done a Will of Bits in a while. We got one coming up next. You never know what you're going to get with the Will of Bits. You don't know what today's going to be. You just know it's going to be radio gold. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
It's the Killer Bees, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous spin.
Let's play Terrible Tweets.
What an enormous spin. Will of Bits, Terrible Tweets. We need a Blankers rant. I don't troll people to the point of crying. I don't believe that to be true. Did you see the Astros admin last night?
Well, maybe Mariners fans.
I don't know, man. The Mariners fans let me have it.
Yeah, they were pretty aggressive.
Frank. I mean, they posted my address on the internet. So, I mean, I think Mariners fans might have won that one over me. Did you see Astros admin, though, that they had a rough night?
No.
Did you see this?
Mm-mm.
They had a lot of people were saying, like, Astros admin's being ran by, like, a 65-year-old white woman. Like, they have no feel. They have no swag. I don't know if it's a different admin. I don't know. I don't pay attention to that stuff. But they were getting dragged on Twitter yesterday. Three different ones that everybody was, I guess, got the most run. One of them was slowly becoming a Yordan Alvarez fan account.
So they messed up the saying then.
Yeah, well, apparently they outed her as a former Dodgers employee. Oh, no. Astros Twitter's the worst. They just ruined that. It's a her. They just ruined her life.
Oh, the person who sent the tweet is a former Dodger.
I guess the admin, is a former Dodgers employee.
Yeah, I was just going off the actual verbiage. Like the if you're trying to sound hip, it would be saying Stan. Like it's absolutely becoming a Stan account, not fan account.
Well, that not only that. Like you're right. That's a good point. I didn't even look at it from that aspect. But like Yordan Alvarez has been around for quite some time.
Right, that's
Yordan Alvarez has had some pretty influential moments as a Houston Astro.
He was an ALCS MVP in 2019.
He turned the game upside down during the World Series against the Phillies. How like you can't in 2024 say that you're slowly becoming a Yordan Alvarez fan account. Like you've been there. Like you've been a Yordan Alvarez fan account for several years now.
Yeah, on so many levels, it's like if you were trying to be funny saying it like that, it didn't go over, and it went over like one of my dad jokes.
It would be like the proper usage of this would be like if the Astros called up Lo Perfido tomorrow, and then he has a great 3-day weekend, right? I mean, that, to me, that's what would be the proper use of this. Like it'd be like Jeremy said, it'd be somebody who just came up, just started doing something. But Yordan was ALCS MVP again in 2019. It's 5 years ago.
Well, the home run, I think, is the biggest thing. Like, well, I know.
I'm not saying 2019 was the biggest thing.
I'm just saying there's been a lot of biggest things.
Sure, yeah,
I'm commenting on how long he's been on this level is what I'm saying.
A few of the comments on this one. Do you ever read the comments on tweets that go bad? I like to. One person we want last year's admin back slowly. Who is running? That was actually Todd the Show. Look at Todd the Show pop it up as one of the first couple of comments. He goes from Twitch famous on ESPN 97.5 to Twitter famous on the comments of Astros admin. Someone else said new admin please with a prayer emoji. Praying for new admin. The next one, Jordan was the player of the game yesterday. 3 for 5, had a homer. He had 3 RBIs. I didn't know that was possible in the 2-hole, according to Jeremy Booth. This one said, it's giving main character energy. Jordan Alvarez is your beer company. Player of the game for the second night in a row.
Again, not understanding slang and in internet language. Main
also,
character.
Are we pronouning this? Like, is that like part of this too? Is this patching some ire? Is it not?
That's not where I was going with it. Like, main character energy is not a good thing. Main character energy is usually for someone who's done something dumb on the internet and now they're, you know, being roasted by everyone that's seen it. Okay. Main character energy is usually not a positive. So I think they just used the terminology wrong.
Maybe I'm reading it the wrong way. Now, you don't think there's any pronoun-ish stuff going on here that would lead to some people getting mad?
Oh, it's? Because it's?
Yeah.
No, I didn't take it that way.
Okay. So we didn't see here a couple of comments. Worst admin in the league. Dead emoji. This guy posted a GIF. Pitchforks. You can't be an angry mob without pitchforks. Here's an account that I muted. This admin is corny. It's like listening to Midwestern soccer mom trying to be cool. I don't know why I muted that person. That's hilarious.
It kind of is, though, because, I mean – main character energy is a little bit newer. I mean, they've botched both. I mean, it's not fan, it's Stan, and main character energy is a negative. And both of those, by the time they get to a point where someone like me, a man who's 40, knows what it means, then it's already become not cool.
Yeah.
Did anybody post a horse head emoji with a gun next to it saying it'll all be over soon, well, admin?
Your former organization would have fired him if they had.
Damn right they would have.
That was like the first original cool admin that like would send those type of tweets was the Rockets with the horse emoji. Now, Apple has changed that emoji now. Now
it's
like
a
water gun as
so
opposed
lame.
To the real gun
oh,
with the horse's
really?
Head. Yeah, it's a water gun. Yeah.
Wow, poor Chad.
Yeah, this is. I get it's a tough gig. I would not want to be responsible. I'm not nearly cool enough to be an admin for anything. And then the last one that was catching the ire of Astro fans was after the game. This one I think is pretty harmless. Astros 10-5 graphic, and then it just reads the boys get it done.
What's wrong with that?
It is fine.
Maybe it was boring. I guess
it is pretty lame.
Maybe that's why people didn't
boring,
like it.
But there's nothing like getting terminology or slang wrong here. It's pretty tame.
Yeah, this one I think is pretty of the three. I think this one is the tamest. It's just kind of like, hey, you want a big game, and like the boys get it done. It had a period too. It didn't even have an exclamation point. Should you have used the exclamation
yes.
point
yes.
instead of
yes.
the period?
Yes, for sure. What would you have said if you didn't? I would have said, so you say there's a chance.
Eh.
Why? Because everybody was writing him off last night.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know
how I like
that one. I'm not good at this stuff. I would be awful at this.
You need to be your influencer, Jeremy.
I am an influencer, but I'm not an admin. I don't have creative things.
Who's the best Twitter admin?
Cool.
Wendy's?
Oh, Wendy's has a great
Wendy's
one.
I don't know if it's the same person, but it was good for a while.
Isn't Whataburger really good, too?
Yeah, Whataburger's pretty good. Sunny D's been good for a while.
Sunny D?
Yeah, I know, because I don't follow.
Sunny D.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't follow Sunny D on Twitter, but it keeps popping up on my timeline because people will retweet funny things that they said. So Sunny D's been pretty good. But yeah, Wendy's has been the GOAT for a while.
Remember the old Astros admin who made Seattle cry with his broom? And it said CS Rise, and it spelled, you know, it was their, it was their tagline or whatever.
And it had
CS
a broom.
Rise.
Yeah, it had a broom sweeping.
And it was SEA, CS Rise, and it had the broom. And then Chris Rose, like, cried and was like, oh, you know, think of the fans in Seattle. Like, it's sports. Like, they were in the playoffs. I think they're going to be all right, although it is Seattle. So there is that. Another thing about Fromber, Chandler Rome, not much in the way of specifics about Fromber, who isn't in Kansas City, as Spada said, quote, he's going to need some time to recover and hopefully it could just be like maybe 2 starts. Asked about Valdez's UCL, Espada said, I didn't get any news on the ligament. Okay, that's weird.
I think we got to go back on that one, Jeremy. I don't know. The no news to me isn't good news. Like
I think this is good. I think it's. He said hopefully it could just be like two starts. So like
I don't think
this is serious.
Maybe it's PTSD from this organization and just how often they've given out odd information. But to me, this is almost buying time by like, oh, it's inflammation, and we're gonna look back in a couple of days. That almost buys time for second and third opinions. Also, the fact that they didn't come out and say no structural damage to me is a little bit of a red flag.
The fact that he didn't say that about the ligament though is weird. I didn't get any news on the ligament. How could you not? Like that's the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Looking at.
That's the whole point.
The manager and the GM and the owner are going to be the three guys that get every bit of information the minute that anybody has it.
Yeah, I just don't buy what he's saying.
They haven't exactly been forthright in the past. You're right, BMAC, on that.
Dana Brown has been.
He's been overly forthright.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, those are the two guys in charge. Like, yeah. I don't think that you can say the past when you're talking about the two guys in charge being new. Dana Brown in his second year talks too much, and then Joe Espada in year one has been far more transparent than Dusty.
Well, if the truth comes out later and it's the exact opposite, then you know that Joe can play the game, but
– yeah.
You know, Joe's not being honest.
I mean, he's lying about not getting news on the UCL, yes. Whether it's good news or bad news. Obviously, he's gotten news about the UCL. That's what the fear is. Like, hey, left-handed pitcher, my left elbow hurts. Let's go look at the UCL. So that I was feeling pretty good until that last sentence. That last sentence I don't like.
Yeah, I didn't
receive news on the UCL. Yes, you did.
I think
liar.
We anticipated at least a couple of games, but that makes more sense that no matter what it is, they're not going to rush him back.
The timeline aspect of it is like – the fact that he threw that out there, though, like, we're, you know, maybe just one or two starts, like, why would you say that and get everybody's hopes up and then be like, oh, yeah, he's having Tommy John in a week? I don't think that he would do that. Like, I think he would
probably
have
right.
a little bit more – I think he would have a little bit more sense and feel than to do that.
Does the start he just missed count as one of the one or two?
I want him to miss at least three if nothing's wrong.
Yeah, I agree. Unlike when they say a guy's ready to come back and they still give him an extra game off when it's an offensive player, when it's a pitcher and it's your arm, yeah, give him three starts off, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm just curious if they're counting last night and then they're going to give him two more.
Yeah, I would probably say that is it.
Yeah.
Like, I think the last night's already in the past, so I think he's talking about the future.
Okay.
So I like that he said he's only going to miss one or two starts, but then I didn't get any news on the UCL. That's kind of that's weird to me. All right, 713-780-ESPN as we continue to try to read between the lines on these quotes about a UCL. What do Stephon Diggs and the Texans need to accomplish this season for a second-round pick to be worth just the potential one season you're getting of Stephon Diggs? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Guys, if you're still looking for a sports book because there are games and nights when you want to make a game that you'd like to watch because there's nothing else on TV a little bit more interesting, I encourage you to go to MyBookie.ag. MyBookie.ag is a one-stop shop for all your sports betting and casino needs, complete with a real-life Vegas experience right from the comfort of your own phone and your own home. That's right. You can kick back on your couch, laying in bed, got the TV on, see a game that you're not pulling for either team, but you got a hunch or you want to kind of make it more interesting. You can put some money down at mybookie.ag. And mybookie.ag has always got you covered. Now there's so much so that they're taking your viewing experience to the next level with real-time live betting that lets you stream and bet the games right from the mybookie.ag website. Sign up now and also take advantage of that generous welcome bonus that we're always talking about on your first deposit, all the way up to $1,000. You put $200 in your account, they'll put $100 on top of it, suddenly $300 ready to play using the promo code BET975. Whenever there's an opportunity to use a code, use our code BET975 as a listener to ESPN and cash in on more fun. And the fun doesn't stop there. You get up-to-the-minute odds, props, and this week's expert predictions that can help you decide who to put your money on depending on what you're betting on. And even when there's no games going on, there's Vegas action to be had. Live dealers standing by, poker, blackjack, etc. All right there at your fingertips. You can bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. All you got to do is use our promo code BET975 to secure your welcome bonus today and go to the only site I tell you to play, mybookie.ag.
Now back to the Killer Bees.
What's he saying about bees?
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I don't know. He said he was, like, protecting the hive.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your resident beekeepers, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Sadly, Jason Statham was unavailable.
I'm a beekeeper.
And he movie that Jason Statham is in, Ryan loves it.
I was going to say,
they're all bangers.
Every time that voice says Jason Statham wasn't available, Brian's shoulders go down.
Yeah, no, it's very disappointing. Every time I hear it, I'm like, well, maybe this is the time Jason Statham walks in, and then he doesn't walk in.
He's going to walk in.
Shirtless?
I mean, I wouldn't tell him to leave.
That's a weird thing to say.
That's very weird.
Well, it's a weird thing to say.
Well, the response, because he's so, he like loves the guy.
It's a weird tee up.
Well, and the answer made it even creepier.
I know. I'm a little uncomfortable.
I'm leaning into the bit.
Seconds.
You set up the bit.
It's true. He did play into the bit.
And now you're chomping at the bit.
Great the joke. 713-780-3776. Brian?
3.2.
Oh, you guys can.
I'll go 3-3 on this one. Try to curry favor with blankers. 5046, GM Brown will be fired if Astros miss the playoffs. Cash or trash?
Trash.
A little bit late, but
trash.
Trash.
I mean, fired James Click-ish after they won the World Series.
Yeah, but it all sits in Jim Crane's lap.
That was a personal dispute,
yeah,
though. So unless David Brown has a personal dispute with Jim Crane, I think he's safe.
That's
where
I'm at.
I think the personal relationship will be stained if he misses the playoffs.
I don't, because if you look at it, if Fromber's out for the year, if some of these pitchers don't come back like they're supposed to, if Abreu, which was his move, completely craps the bed yet again, and they have to DFA him or do something, or he just can't contribute, then a ton of the deck is stacked against Dana Brown. And as long as they have a good personal working relationship, then I think that you can't blame Dana Brown for a year like that.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, but he moved on from Click after winning a World Series.
So it's Crane's fault, not Dana's fault.
From firing Click?
No, if Crane's the guy that got rid of a guy that was capable and brought in Dana Brown, who he hired.
Yeah, I mean, that might be true, but how often do owners be like, oh, it's my bad for hiring a bad general manager. I'm not going to fire the general manager.
But unless he trips all over himself, I mean, because he's so handcuffed by Crane anyway, it's hard for me to believe that he would get rid of him and blame him for it.
Yeah, that's a good point on that part, on that front. 6171, talking about the imaging, or they need imaging to calm down, or they need inflammation to calm down for a few days before they can do the imaging. Look, I'm not a doctor. I'm an idiot who talks on the radio. I know very little. I just try to pretend like I do. I don't think that matters with an MRI. That definitely matters on x-rays, because I had a broken ankle once and they didn't see it, and then when the inflammation went away, hey, you got a broken ankle. Thanks. Cool. I've been walking on it for 3 days. But I don't think that matters with an MRI.
I think it does.
Yeah.
When you do an MRI on your knee, when they think it's a torn ACL, a lot of times you hear that they have to wait for the swelling.
I tore an ACL in high school, and I had to wait for the swelling to go down.
Okay, well, then that would explain why Espada doesn't know about the UCL then.
Yeah, I guess it would give credence to that for sure.
That's not great news.
No.
as we play doctor without knowing anything.
So saying the elbow inflammation could be a way to buy time then.
I just can't imagine the inflammation being that bad to where he was tossing a day before his start.
I also don't think that you'd say he might miss a start or two until you know definitively yay or nay.
That's the thing, too. Like, I don't think that you're going to set the expectations that high if you like, oh, yeah, you got bad. Or even if you, like, can't see the imaging yet because you need the inflammation to go down, I don't think you're saying he's going to miss one or two starts.
Right.
Like, why are you setting the bar that high?
Yeah, you buy the time by saying, hey, look, we got to let, you know, we can't do the MRI just yet or something, but you can buy time other ways. I don't think that's exactly where my head was at. You can't say he's going to miss a start or two if it ends up being season ending.
I'll go as far to say this, too. If he says that it's going to be a start or two and it comes out that he has a torn UCL and needs TJ, I'm probably out on Espada. Not as like a manager, like not his decision making, but more of like how he handles media. Like, how do you say that without getting a definitive answer on the UCL and it comes out and needs TJ? Like, I would be out on that. Like, I'm
for sure.
I'm done there. 4187. Why rush him back? You shouldn't rush him back. It's too early in the season. You should not pitch him until he's 100%. Why wouldn't they say they had the MRI so you wouldn't have to read between the lines? Maybe because, I mean, if we're going to play conspiracy theory, maybe the inflammation's too high then.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows?
I don't like it, but.
All right. What do the Texans have to do to justify trading a second-round pick for Stephon Diggs and then restructuring the deal where it could potentially probably only be a one-year deal? What do the Texans have to accomplish to justify it?
To me, I think that they've got to get to the Super Bowl. I think that. I don't like the fact that they did what they did after they got him. I don't like the fact that if they had planned on doing that as they were orchestrating the trade, that they had to give up that high of a second-round pick, conceivably, if the Vikings are going to suck at all. I think that you're in complete go-for-it mode. And go-for-it mode doesn't mean you got as far as you got a year ago. You go further. And because it's going to cause so many different issues and dilemmas with the two best receivers or two of the three best receivers on your roster at the end of the year and decisions to be made, I think anything short of an appearance in the Super Bowl, they don't have to win it, but they have to get there.
Yeah, I'm not big on championship or bust culture. Ocho says nothing short of a Super Bowl will justify the Diggs acquisition because the Texans have missed out on a deep wide receiver draft and a player on a rookie contract. Well, Ocho, they traded the 2025 second. Are you saying the 25 second is when the receiver class is deep?
Yeah, I haven't looked that far. I have to go down the hall and ask Lance.
I don't think that's been determined. At least, I don't know. Maybe general managers in the NFL have, but I haven't even seen people talk about the 25 draft from a receiver depth. They traded a 25 pick. I'm not big in the Super Bowl or bust conversation, though, or championship or bust conversation. To me, it's more about putting yourself in the position. You get to the playoffs, really in any sport, it's a crapshoot. NFL, you play a one-game playoff. You can lose a game very easily. Baseball is a coin flip sport. You can lose a best of seven pretty easily. So I'm not a big, they got to win it all to justify the trade. To me, it's more about giving yourself a chance, being in that conversation. So, like, be one of the better teams in the AFC with a chance to win the AFC. If you lose to Kansas City at Arrowhead in the AFC Championship game by 4 points, the Stephon Diggs trade is a bad trade if he went for 120 catches and 1,500 yards? No. Like, you don't need to get to a Super Bowl to justify the trade. He needs to have a good year. You need to be in the conversation. That's what it would take for me.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that you know, my opinion is a no. I think that when you look at it, you're right. I see your point in the fact that, yeah, you have to compete with the best in the AFC, and I think that's what they're trying to do. But to me, it kind of the aftermath is what it hinges on, too. If he has that kind of a year and you can bring him back, that's fantastic. Then it's totally worth the second you gave up. But if it's a one-and-done situation for me, giving up a pick like that, that's what stings the most. And if you don't get to places, maybe it is the AFC championship game instead. You have to get to places your organization hasn't been previously and compete with the best in at least your conference and in the NFL.
Are we saying that about the Anderson trade, though? Like, if you don't get to the Super Bowl, the Will Anderson trade's a bad one because you traded away.
It's not a one-and-done. You're developing that guy for your future.
But you traded future capital for a guy that is under contract for a decent period of time, but you traded future assets for a player that you're getting right now in the moment.
Yeah, no, I think because of the Anderson has multiple years attached to it and he has room to grow, and this one, the sense of urgency is extremely high as like here and now and one and done possibilities. If Diggs was on his original contract and he gave you two, I'd be fine with what they gave up. I don't like the fact that, you know, this pretty much seems like it's a one-year rental.
Oh, where are you at on this, Brian?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of in between with where you guys are. I definitely think they have to get beyond where they've ever been before. Like, if they go out in the first round, if they go out in the second round, then there's no way I would be anything but disappointed, and I wouldn't be able to justify the trade if that were to happen. But if they get to the AFC title game, as long as they don't lose to a team where we think they're clearly better than, then that's enough. Like, if you get to the AFC title game and you lose to the Chiefs, no harm done. I think that's a successful trade. Where I would push back and say and be with Joel's side, like they have to get to Super Bowl, if it's in a scenario where the Chiefs are upset and all of a sudden, okay, you lost to the AFC Championship, that's great, but you lost to the Browns. Like, in that scenario, then I think I would still be with Joel, where like you have to get to a Super Bowl. So it's kind of dependent on who they face and who they get knocked out by. But if you're AFC Championship game and you get knocked out by the Chiefs, I can live with that.
I think context matters, right? Because, like, what if you, in that scenario, you lost to the Browns in the AFC Championship? What if it's a shootout, 41-38, Diggs has two touchdowns in that game? Like, to me, the context comes into play. Like, now, if you get to the AFC Championship game, you're not scoring a lot of points, and Diggs plays in the postseason like he did in Buffalo in the last 7 weeks in Buffalo, context there matters. So I don't think it's as binary as this round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I just think... I think to Brian's point, I think the opponent does matter, though. I think that, you know, if you lose to a team that all season long you look like you're the better team, then I think there's a lot more to look at and question than, like we all said, if you play the Chiefs and you play your tail off, but, you know, that's your first chance to taste that kind of situation against that caliber of team in a playoff game, and you come up short, if he played well, it's worth bringing him on the team. I just hate the fact that now you got a hell of a dilemma. Do you bring him back, and how with the money?
8532 says, breaking news, 2 exclamation points. Brinkers, do your breaking news sounder. Thank you for that. Breaking news. Colts will win the division, so y'all can stop talking about it now. All right, you talked us into it. We're done talking football for the rest of the offseason. We're not talking football at all when the NFL season kicks off. You talked us into it, 8532. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Car wreck of the day. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! I'll give you a bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
What was your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, 713-780-3776. Blankers, what are you nominating for car wreck of the day?
Jeremy, I'm going to lead it off with something that is normally a topic that everybody in Houston loves to make car wreck of the day. Anything to do with the Dodgers or ex-Dodgers. Dodgers pitcher Julio, or ex-pitcher Julio Urias, just got charged with 5 misdemeanors. And this is a two-folder because the misdemeanors are all domestic violence related. And even though at the end of the day they weren't upgraded to felonies, there were 5. They were all involving his girlfriend at the time. And on top of that, as bad as all that is, he was about to be a free agent at the end of last season going into this offseason, and they estimated he would sign a $200 million contract. Now they're saying his days in the MLB could quite possibly be over.
Yeah, it's not good. I wonder, like, the difference between the misdemeanor and the felony and why he didn't get felony charges, but not great.
They said, one, because he did not have any previous record or knowledge of any domestic violence, and because, two, the injuries sustained to the female were not significant or to a level that would upgrade the charge.
You can't fix stupid.
Jeez.
That's a lot of money, man. It's a lot of money you just missed out on.
Yeah, and he would have had a Oakley or a glass sponsorship, too, with those funky glasses he wore.
Yeah, I mean, bad people are bad people.
Yep.
No amount of money is going to fix that. No amount of fame is going to fix that. Terrible, terrible. Blair Henley is my car wreck of the day.
Oh, the Astros did him dirty. Blair Henley.
I mean, Blair Henley's kind of the symbolism of the entirety of the move, because the Astros did do him dirty. Like, the guy has no business being in Major League Baseball, but just because he was rested, hey, you go out and get us one out and give up 5 runs against maybe the best offense in all of baseball. Unfortunately, the Astros won. And then he had the sad moment. He's leaving the mound with his long neck. I'm sorry, boys. Like, it was sad. It was sad.
Why are you picking on his long neck? You call him Davis Mills?
I'm not picking on his long neck. I'm just describing it as I see it. You got to paint the picture. He did have a long neck. He did. His neck or Davis Mills' neck? Which one's longer? He was Davis Mills with a beard.
Who was the Tampa Bay quarterback that had the really long neck?
Glennon?
Yes, Mike Glennon.
Oh,
Mike Glennon
had that. I have
wow,
no
that was a hell of a pull.
That.
I had no clue where you're going there.
I don't know.
That's exactly though.
And Mike Glennon, Davis Mills, and Blair Henley. All right, what are you nominating car wreck, Brian?
Jeremy Boost continued takes on Yordan and hitting second.
Facts.
I think he's got take lock. Like, he latched on to this take and it doesn't matter how often it's proven wrong. He's just going to keep banging his drum because he's just locked in. He can't admit to being wrong.
I've never heard of take lock. I think I like that phrase. Now, what is the take lock here? Is the take lock Yordan in the two hole, or is the take lock?
He can't change his. He can't say he was wrong or that he might have missed. Yeah,
right.
Missed
he
on
can't
it.
Admit that Yordan hitting the two hole is both productive, that it can lead the Astros to wins, and that he can still get RBI.
I think y'all are scratching the RBIs. I think y'all are scratching the surface here. Because I think the take lock is that he's anti-analytics.
Could go back to last year
where, like, he was banging the drum of, like, the Astros need Ron Washington. Dusty Baker's the greatest manager ever. And maybe he's right. I'm not arguing that. I like Dusty whenever it was all said and done. I think it's more his anti-analytics is what his take lock is that he's more of a traditionalist. So it's more Yordan should be batting third or fourth, even though the third spot in the lineup bats with 2 outs, none on, more than any other spot in the lineup. I think that's his take lock.
What was the last one that he had that was so controversial that he was, and what's his name got into the whole back and forth?
Clanton?
Yeah.
I don't remember what that one was about, actually. I just remember the backlash of it. The one that I remember was last year was the manager stuff. Like, your Astro fans are idiots because you're chasing off Dusty, Dusty retired.
Yeah.
And then you're, like, scaring off other managers like Ron Washington. Oh, no, we're going to miss out on Ron Washington. How terrible.
Yeah, he tried to paint a picture that no manager with any sort of resume would ever want to work for the Astros again.
Yeah. Oh, no, we missed out on Ron Washington. Now, here, I'll throw a supplementary car wreck of the day here. Like, a bunch of people are like, well, why do you give this guy the platform? Well, you give this guy the platform because he's getting all this attention, like clicks, impressions. We're talking about it on our radio show. That's why. So all of you that are complaining about it, stop giving this guy the platform. Well, you're kind of indirectly giving him the platform by complaining that he has the platform.
We give you the food. You just choose to eat it.
Exactly. You have another one here.
For a shot at Joe, I got to throw in the Cubs blowing an 8-0 lead yesterday.
Well, that's his second favorite team. His favorite team is the White Sox.
True, and they're 1-9. They?
Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
Are they?
Yeah, they're 1-9, but they have Maldi. So they're going to be fine. They're going to be absolutely fine. Don't worry.
So the White Sox are 1-9, and the Cubs are blowing 8-run leads?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were up 8-0, lost 9-8 to the Padres.
And they have Pequods. I like Pequods.
I've got one. Giordano's is my favorite, but either one's pretty darn good.
Yeah, I like Pequod's because of the wings, actually. I think the pizza's comparable, but Pequod's wings are fantastic. Fantastic. Car wreck of the day from Josh from Seabrook, Blair Henley's ERA. What was it, like 145?
135, I think.
135? Yeah. He's never going to pitch in the bigs again. Like, he's gonna retire.
I hope that's not true, but you're probably right. Isn't he already 26?
He's going to sit in his rocking chair one day talking to his grandchildren and telling them about his 135 ERA.
What's higher, God. Blair Henley's ERA or C.J. Stroud's best QB rating next year?
I thought you were about to say IQ. You're going to get roasted,
Brian. No.
You're going to get roasted. That was a low S2 comment
roasted.
There,
you're,
Brian.
You're the one that tried to put those words in my mouth.
I didn't say it. I thought that's where you were going.
You think very little of me.
Remember how big of a conversation that was pre-draft?
Yeah, it's all dumb.
Low S2-iness. What was it? His quarterback rating?
Yeah, his best quarterback rating next year or Blair Henley's ERA in the majors.
That's pretty high for a QB rating.
Well, perfect is 153.
I'll go ERA.
You'll go ERA? Okay.
I will too. Is there a car wreck of the day for the Rangers not handling their business after getting 5 runs in the first?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's a bullpen day. You're facing Blair Henley a bullpen day, and you blow a 5-2 lead. Absolutely, the car.
And you gave up a 10 spot.
Though? Did we say the Astros Twitter admin?
No, but we need. Yeah, we should definitely include it.
A mid-soccer mom from Wisconsin.
Hey, whoa! Should be from Arkansas.
Oh,
or
that's
something.
Right. You're from Wisconsin. I forgot all about
she should
that.
Be from Arkansas or something. I don't know.
Well, if she was from Arkansas, she probably couldn't spell.
Oh. Okay.
You're just saying I'm going to get canceled.
I'm not going to be on the show tomorrow.
Yeah.
Our boss is from Arkansas, I think. All right. That's going to do it for us. What's winning?
I would say Jeremy Booth.
Yeah, I think Jeremy Booth is winning.
Congratulations, Jeremy Booth. You are car wreck of the day. Probably not going to be the last time either. But congratulations to JB. All right. That does it for us. Thanks to Brian for doing all the hard work. He's blank on Brad. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. ESPN National coming up. And then at 7 o'clock, Hall of Fame with the Killer Bee Fight Club Tournament Champion Booker T and Brad Gilmore. Keep it here. ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.